Welcome to the Global from Asia podcast, where the daunting process of running an international business from Hong Kong is broken down into straight up actionable advice. And now, your host, Michael Michelini.
It is hot and humid here in South China, but it feels good to be back in the mid-July summertime. So 2 weeks in Europe was a really good China break for me, as a lot of us often need, but I am back and ready to rock for the rest of this year. I'll be over here in China, a little bit of Asia, Southeast Asia. So it brings me to another announcement. I've mentioned in some previous shows that I'm a partner now in the Enter China community, which is a private community of product manufacturer designers in China. And we are hosting a live webinar to give some tips and tricks on finding the right factory for your crowdfunding campaign on August 4th. So I'll leave it at that. If you want to learn more details and sign up, you can go to globalfromasia.com/enterchina. And also, if you're here in this hot and humid South China here in the summertime, the end of this month in July 29th, a Friday full day event, we are going to go see the Shanghai Free Trade Zone here in Shenzhen. The government caught out there. My wife did a great job, Wendy, putting that together. And we're going to have workshops with speakers and roundtables. Lunch and dinner will be included. There's a limited amount of spots. And if you want to lock yours in, go to globalfromasia.com/QH, which is Shanghai QH trip, all one word. Okay, enough for that. This week's show is episode number 132. We are getting up there. We have John Nigel of the InTouch Quality Inspection Company. It's a full service QC company here in Shenzhen. And he is on to share common things you should look for when doing a factory inspection, if you're even doing it at all. So I hope you are. If not, you're going to get a lot out of this show. So let's listen in. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in to another Global from Asia podcast. We have with us today John Nigel from InTouch Quality Services. So thank you for being here, John.
It's good to be here, Mike. Thanks for having me.
Sure. We were talking in email before, and yeah, we had met a few years ago at a common friend's house party, and it's great to get you on the show. So maybe a little bit about, you know, your background and how you came over to China.
Sure. My first experience with China, I'd been over here in 2010. I studied a semester in Shanghai. When I went back to the States, where I'm from, in near Boston, I finished up my schooling and I started working as a door-to-door salesman, actually, which was an interesting experience.
Awesome.
And after about 6 months of doing that, I decided that I really didn't have enough China really experience, and I really wanted to come back. So I first went to Jilin and I taught English for a few months. And then I ended up in Guangzhou, working at a state-owned hotel called Baiyin Bingguan in Guangzhou there. And after about a year of that, I started InTouch, and that was November of 2013. So I worked primarily as a client manager, looking after importers that primarily are looking for things like product inspection or sourcing assistance, finding the right suppliers, arranging factory audits, things for social compliance, things like that. And also worked in some business development as well. So I've been in InTouch for about 2.5 years now, and most recently working sort of on the marketing front.
Cool. Well, I know Andy for many years since he first started that business, and it's great to see it's growing, and you're helping out with the team. So this awesome stuff.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so today we were talking about kind of, it's a little bit difficult sometimes to give up names, or maybe we can make hypothetical examples. But I think a lot of times listeners learn a lot by examples and maybe mistakes that other business owners have made. So, but I think, like you said, maybe it's just good to go back a little bit and explain the overview of inspections versus like quality control as a general industry.
Yeah, quality control is sort of a broad topic. And if you look it up in Google, you'll find a lot of results, that many of which have nothing to do with importing products from abroad or what have you. But what we're talking about here is generally manufacturers and inspecting products prior to shipping them. And that is a common service that importers look for to just sort of safeguard their products and make sure that they meet their requirements, specifications, make sure that the order is being processed on time, There's no unforeseen delays there. And it just gives the importer sort of that peace of mind before the goods leave the factory to make sure that things are all sort of above board. Because what can happen if they don't see the goods before they leave is maybe they reach the goods ship, they reach the distribution centers, and they find maybe a number of defects or some non-conformity with the product. And it's much more expensive to fix that or make repairs or replace those defective goods than it would be to have that done at the factory, sort of typically abroad in China or Southeast Asia, wherever that importer is getting their product from. So it saves, it generally saves a lot of mistakes from happening. But of course, the inspectors themselves are people as well. And from time to time, they are prone to make some mistakes. And there's a few ones that are more common to see than others.
Great. Yeah. Thanks for that. Thanks for that overview. So yeah. And like I said, I think there's a lot of Amazon FBA sellers listening. And of course there's some pretty experienced. I think we're kind of in the middle here. So I think a lot of listeners have been buying from Chinese factories and sometimes they rely on the Chinese factory to do the quality. I know I've talked to some people and they say that the quality has been good enough, like just telling the factory what they want. And, but of course, you know, that's like a Russian roulette, you know, because it just takes one time that it doesn't come in correctly, and to get it checked before it leaves China is always the most critical part.
I think that's true to some extent. A lot of importers they might rely on the factory's internal QC staff to carry out those inspection processes for them, but you know, that's more common, I would say, with promotional goods or goods that are relatively low cost. And these importers are operating on relatively low profit margins because, you know, promotional goods, generally, they're a little bit more, consumers are a little bit more forgiving when you've got these like plastic Mardi Gras beads that they're handing out for free somewhere in Louisiana, for example, rather than like sort of a higher end product where they're paying sort of a high ticket price for it. But at the same time, it's important, I think, to keep in mind that sure, the factory should, and most factories do have their own QC staff, but they're essentially checking their own product. And there's sort of a conflict of interest there when you ask someone to review their own work and sort of give you an honest evaluation about it. And that's why it helps sometimes to have either your own staff go to the factory or to hire a third party to go and inspect on your behalf.
Is there any general rule of like how many days it takes for an inspection based on like the type of order?
It really depends on a number of factors. One of those factors is the sample method chosen by the importer for inspection. So generally, the QC industry operates on a pretty widely accepted standard called AQL, and that stands for Acceptable Quality Limits. And based on AQL and the number of pieces per SKU, stock keeping unit, the number of SKUs in an order and a total purchase order, AQL sort of dictates a set number of different sample options for that lot size. So if, for example, you're inspecting an order of maybe 10,000 wristwatches, you might have a higher sample that you're pulling. Maybe something around 300 or 400 pieces would be reasonable for one importer. And that might take a number of days to do. Whereas if you're inspecting a smaller sample, it'll generally take less time to go through those. Another factor is item type, product type. If you're inspecting a larger item or a more complicated item, maybe if you're inspecting furniture, just based largely on the size of the furniture, it could take longer to go through a set number of pieces than if you're inspecting a relatively smaller product. And another factor is distance to the factory or the inspection site. So if you have an inspector who's based in Shenzhen here in southern China, in Guangdong province, and they need to go up north to another province, we'll say maybe Henan, that takes time for them to travel. So that travel time generally is billed back to the importer, and that time is sort of considered part of the inspection time. It's not quite that simple, but it generally means that they'll need to be at the factory or en route to the factory for a longer period than if they were inspecting more locally. So those are probably the three main factors that determine how long an inspection might take to complete.
Cool. Wow. Thanks, John, for this info. So now I hope you're not too nervous, but maybe we don't have to say they're clients, but maybe some stories you've heard. I have my share of stories too that if you want, I can help, but
Okay. Maybe
we could pick some different cases that could have different types of learning lessons of mistakes that maybe an importer has made or could make that could be prevented.
Yeah, I think there's a lot to choose from, actually. I think I would start with maybe one of the most important sort of fundamentals of working with a third party for inspection, and that would be clarifying expectations up front. And that goes for the third party inspection staff or the third party company, as well as the supplier that the importer is working with for production. So what I mean by clarifying expectations up front, that means issuing a really detailed and thorough purchase order, or PO, that doesn't leave any questions unanswered. It specifies things like Incoterms, who's paying for the freight, what date is the product expected to ship, what day is it expected to be finished in production, number of SKUs, number of units per SKU, things like that all need to be clearly addressed. And it's important as well that if they're planning to have a third party go to the factory to inspect, that they mention that on the PO as well, so there's no surprises later when they ask the supplier suddenly to cooperate with a third party for inspection. So that's one way to set expectations up front. And another way to do that in a big way is by developing a detailed quality control checklist. So a quality control checklist is more or less the main document that an inspector might use, whether in-house, at the factory, as a staff of the factory itself, or a third party inspector. All three of these sort of parties would probably use a quality control checklist. And that just, it details things like product specifications, any on-site testing that might be required for a particular product. For example, high pot testing for consumer electronics, fabric density check for things like raw fabric or garments. And it also should list some known quality defects and how to sort of classify those according to the importer's tolerance. So for example, when it comes to garments, to use that example a second time here, untrimmed threads are a fairly common defect. And generally, those are considered relatively minor. In fact, we classify those as minor most of the time for the sake of reporting. So it's important that the supplier knows, the inspector knows, and the importer knows how to classify different defects. And what quantities of each is that going to be acceptable for the buyer? That way the supplier isn't saying, well, we didn't know this defect was an issue. Or the inspector is saying, well, we didn't know that we should be checking for this particular issue. And that goes into, again, setting expectations from the beginning. Because when it comes to manufacturing and the mistakes that can occur, the vast majority of them are much easier to prevent than they are to correct later. And that's especially true of particular defects that you're not able to mend or remedy. Yeah, that's a big one.
Oh, got it. See, I want to kind of touch on that point you brought up about the inspection, telling the factory. So this is a mistake I think I've made that Andy even told me was, you don't want to make surprises with the factory or, you know, the supplier. You want to tell them you're going to be checking and you want to tell them what you will be checking, right? Like, it's not like you're trying to do like a surprise inspection where you kind of like pop in and check. You always want to tell them ahead of time and what day. I mean, this is just my own thought was like, I kind of thought I would want to surprise the factory, like, you know, like, haha, we're going to check, make sure you're doing things the right way. And,
sure.
Because I always think like, if you tell them, hey, we're coming Wednesday at 2 PM, they're going to like clean up the mess and they're going to like prepare, you know, like, but I guess you don't mind to let them know when you're coming and what you're going to check.
Right. I mean, that's a good question because it applies to audits as well. And there's a difference there. But I think if the importer themselves is going personally to the factory to check a product, I mean, it's probably better to let them know that you're coming anyway, even though there's maybe this surprise element, as you said. They're working generally on a production schedule, and I don't think that they would significantly alter that if they knew that their customer was visiting the factory. When it comes to an audit for something like social compliance, I think even for something like quality systems management. The factory, if they know an auditor is coming, there are things that they can do to prepare. Certain things, like they might, factories have been known sometimes to forge documents that are needed. So if it's a social compliance audit and we're checking payroll to make sure that employees are receiving the benefits per the local law there, per retailer standards like Walmart or Target, the factory, knowing that they have an audit, you know, on Tuesday, maybe on Monday or Sunday, they might go through and sort of purge their records and try and prepare the best they can to pass that audit. And that's sort of the exception to what I'm about to say. When it comes to inspections, particularly with third party, it's really, really important to let the factory know. Let the supplier know if you're working with a vendor. Let the factory know if you're communicating directly with the factory that you're going to have someone going to the factory. Let them know the date, let them know the time, let them know an estimate of how long they can expect to have that person in their facility, and also what they're going to be checking. I think brevity is not really something to really reach for here. It's more about keeping them out of the dark, letting them know exactly what to expect. Because, you know, if an importer just tells the factory, listen, we want an inspector there, and the factory didn't have that expectation from the beginning, the factory could resist that inspection. And there are a number of ways they can do that, but they might not want that person there, even if they have that notice a week, 2 weeks ahead of time from the customer. But having someone show up completely unannounced often leads to them being shut out. That is, not allowed inside the factory. And if it's a third-party inspection company that an importer is working with, they're likely to charge that time back to the importer anyway, even though they weren't able to perform the service. So yeah, it's really important that the factory is aware of that. If there are tests that need to be done, certain equipment that the factory is expected to provide for such testing, it's really important that they know so that the inspector gets there and there's no surprises for them about, oh, we didn't have this particular equipment available for this test that the client wanted, or, you know, the factory wouldn't let us look at this amount of product, or they wouldn't let us open the finished cartons because they expected us to look at a product that wasn't packed already and they don't want to have to open and repack cartons. Things like that are examples of surprises that can occur if the supplier isn't fully aware of what's going to happen during that service ahead of time.
Cool. This is all really great stuff. So do we have another case, or I could make I have some examples.
I mentioned equipment, which is one that I sort of had in mind, but another one is letting factory staff influence reporting. That can happen to an inspector sometimes that's less experienced or isn't really trained up front to know that they really need to go in there with a certain level of objectivity. So to give you an example, say an inspector goes in to inspect a plastic product. Maybe it's some cooking materials like some knives or spoons or what have you that have some injection molding processes involved in manufacturing those. And one of the common defects that we find that are, you know, fairly common to plastic items is something called flash. So it's basically some plastic material, some residual material that's sort of trapped between the tooling of the molds when it clamps down, and some of that can get left over on the finished product. So usually factories will try and trim that away manually. That's usually the lowest cost remedy for that. But if the inspector goes to the factory and maybe the importer doesn't mention flash, and that inspector, for whatever reason, thinks that flash is minor, maybe the factory could tell them, factory staff might tell them, you know, this isn't a big issue. You don't have to report it. You know, don't leave it. Don't bother telling the importer about it. This is such a common thing. We know this client. We've worked with them for 10 years. They're not going to make a fuss about it. Just leave it out of the reporting. When in fact, if the inspector includes it in the report, even if they're not sure about whether or not the importer could accept it, maybe the importer could come back and say, you know what, the flash, I'm not okay with that. That's hurting the aesthetic value of this item, and that's a defect that needs to be addressed. So by sort of taking the factory staff's word for it rather than waiting on the side of caution, that inspector is not really doing a service to the importer that has hired them to do the inspection. And that kind of outside influence from inspection or from factory staff can be problematic sometimes.
Cool. Yeah, I got it. And so I have one. I don't surprise you, but like materials, is that how, you know, is that something that's normally checked in the inspection process?
Yeah, I mean, do you mean like raw materials and components that go into the product?
Yeah, I mean like the pieces, yeah, the pieces inside the product.
Yeah, definitely. It depends a little bit upon the type of product being inspected, but there are also, there are certain different types of inspections that would be performed, namely one called incoming quality control inspection, which is just looking at the raw materials and parts that come in sort of at the first stage of production, rather than looking at the finished product to check the materials there. But in terms of what's applicable to most importers, checking a product at any stage should include some checks for materials and components. So if it's a product like, for example, wood furniture, wood molding, wood frames, typically a moisture check is done. So they'll take a digital gauge with, generally it's got two prongs on it, they insert into part of the wood. So it ends up going in maybe an inch or two deep and it measures the moisture content of the wood. That's sort of a basic check that we would do on materials to make sure that the wood isn't too dry, it's not too wet. If it's too dry, it can crack. If it's too wet, it can warp or become sort of misshapen, either during storage or transit. So that's one example. Another example is if you're checking a product with a lot of different components, you want to do some tests on those components. You'll want to check the internal parts to make sure that they're not perhaps sourced from other suppliers that the importer is not going to approve of. So an example I would use here, I guess, is tablet PCs. If you're inspecting an order of tablet PCs, you want to check the screen. You want to make sure that it's firmly there in place in the unit. You want to run some software diagnostics testing to make sure that the headphone jacks work properly, that the wireless component works fine, strong signal. You want to check for dead pixels. Sometimes tablet PCs can have dead pixels, and that's evident of something wrong, usually with the transistors inside the tablet. And you'll want to open up the tablet and take off the casing and look inside and see, is the PCU inside, is it locally sourced if the client wants that, or is it evident that it's from a supplier that the importer has pre-approved? So there's a lot of ways that we could check different materials and components on site, and a lot of that has to do with the different on-site tests that we would do.
Cool. This is really good. Yeah, I saw some of your blog posts were really good. You did talk about electronics, or specifically tablets. So it's something I never, when I was doing this products, I never really got into electronics. It just seems so complicated. But how about specifically, I'm sure it must be much more complex when it's an electronic item versus like a home or gift, right? Or I mean, I guess every product has complexities.
Well, if you have more components, then you have more suppliers, more sub-suppliers, and the sort of the wider, more extending that supply chain is, the more complicated it gets and the more harder it is to sort of police that and make sure that everything is measures up to your specs. So a product like tablet PCs, it's got a lot going on. It's got internet. It's got sometimes Bluetooth. It's got audio ports. It's got maybe USB ports. Obviously, video quality and high definition are pretty widely accepted these days in those as well. So that's going to be a lot more complicated in terms of what's required during inspection than, say, something for furniture, as I mentioned before, a promotional item, you know, something like that, because there are more suppliers, more components, and they're not necessarily going to be all on the same quality level or up to spec.
Cool. Maybe have one more time for one more if you have something for us.
Yeah, I would say that using the wrong sample size can be a mistake that maybe the importer can make, or maybe the inspector could make. As I said, if they're new to it and they're not properly trained from the beginning. Like I mentioned before, AQL, acceptable quality limits, or acceptable quality levels, is generally the industry-wide standard for product inspection that's used. And depending on how large or small the sample size is, that's going to affect, obviously, the scope of inspection. If you're inspecting 5% of 100 tablet PCs, you're going to have a much less confident picture of the overall quality of the order than if you inspected 10%. or 15% or 20%. So when it comes time to schedule an inspection, the importer who's asking for that service has the responsibility to choose that sample size that's appropriate to their quality standard. It's appropriate to their desired confidence level in that order, and also one that matches with their budget. If they have budgetary constraints, they might choose a smaller sample size to save some money on the inspection. But it's typically the inspectors or the inspection company's responsibility to educate the importer on what is AQL, how changing different sample sizes will affect the transparency of the report they receive, things like that. So if an importer makes a mistake or an inspector makes a mistake with the sample size chosen, it's going to affect the scope. If a small sample size is chosen that sort of underrepresents what the importer wants, there's a higher chance of defects going overlooked in that order, which is sort of represents some risk there for the importer. And if the sample size is too large, that is, the inspector inspects 200 pieces when the importer only asks for 125 to be inspected, that increases the scope, which is good generally, but it also increases the cost of the inspection for the importer. And if the supplier doesn't expect the inspection to take that much time, if they expect it to take one day rather than a second day, they're going to be disappointed and surprised as well. So that's not really a good thing. So the really important thing for the importer to do to prevent this kind of thing is to make it clear up front. And the importer or the inspector will generally help them to do that when they quote the inspection. They'll give them some options for different inspection levels, different sample sizes, and the price range for each one, let's say. And the inspector can choose among them, the importer can choose among those options. But it's really important that they're on the same page up front. And when they do get the inspection report and they can see the pass-fail pending result of that report, they should check the sample size and verify that it matches what they agreed on up front with that inspector and with their supplier.
Well, this is great. Thanks, John, for sharing all this. And yeah, just really appreciate your time. That's all we have for today. Of course, maybe explain more about you and your services.
Yeah, InTouch is an American-owned third-party QC firm. And we're headquartered here in Shenzhen, China. We operate throughout China, Southeast Asia. We do services in South Korea, Japan as well, India, Bangladesh. And we generally specialize in product inspection services like we've been talking about here. We also do factory audits, things like good manufacturing practices, GMP, ISO 9001 based audits, quality systems management audits, environmental systems management audits with ISO 14000 standards. And we also do social compliance audits and sourcing. So we help connect importers with suppliers that can supply the products that they want. So we've been around since 2008. And
cool. And how can people reach out to you and your website for those interested?
For those interested, you guys can check us out on our website. That's www.intouchquality.com. We've got a great blog there. It sounds like, Mike, you've checked it out as well.
Yep.
And we're happy to answer any questions or handle any inquiries that people have there. We've got some resources that could be helpful to folks as well.
Cool. All right, John, thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you, Mike. No problem.
Thank you, John. So as we know, finding a factory is already struggle enough and a lot of work, but a lot of times we get all excited and rush into things and kind of skip the QC and the inspection and other things like that. So hopefully you got some new ideas, and you, if are not doing this, I know a lot of people aren't based in China and can't fly over here every time, but that's why there's these specialists that can have your back and for daily rates and pretty reasonable, especially when you think about the value of the order and everything else. Sound like a salesman here, but it is true. And I've had my bad experiences in the past and just want to kind of avoid that stuff. So finding good people you can trust on the ground is very critical. So just take action, right? Just keep learning and taking action. Okay. And so that's all I have for this week. And a little plug again for that webinar. If you want to get some tips and tricks on finding the right factory, you can come on over and register at globalfromasia.com/enterchina, all one word. See you guys soon. Till next time, I'm going to get outside and go into that heat and humidity. Get some nice heat. I love it. All right. See you guys later. Bye-bye.
To get more info about running an international business via Hong Kong, please visit our website at www.globalfromasia.com. That's www.globalfromasia.com. Also, be sure to subscribe to our iTunes feed. Thanks for tuning in.